right. We do have O'Neill Public School Superintendent Amy Shane with us this morning. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
And hard to believe it's that time of the year.
It's creeping close to the beginning of a school year. You're right.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about what's going to be going on here and kind of what the O'Neill Public Schools plan is for the 2020-2021 school year.
That's kind of a mouthful. Yes. And thanks so much for giving me some time this morning to talk, Scott. I really appreciate that. I want to start out by thanking Heidi Hoster, Liz Parks, Carol Doolittle, Roger Wheezy, everyone else behind the scenes at the North Central District Health Department for all their work since last March, probably before. They've kept us well informed about the disease rates in our area. They've provided us with guidance about recommendations to keep ourselves and our community well. They're going to continue to play a significant role in what we're doing at school. So although they're a relatively small department in manpower, they cover a huge area geographically. And they are looking for additional help. I'm going to put that plug in for them. I believe they're hiring another public health nurse and another person to help keep the risk dial that we're going to be talking about today current and accurate. So if you're looking for a position, give them a call. The risk dial that NCDHD is providing is going to guide our decisions as a school district this year. There are four different risk levels according to their dial: green, yellow, orange, and red. Each color represents a level of risk concerning COVID-19 for our county. The risk dial will be updated weekly on Wednesdays for the community's information. Mr. York, Mr. Fisher, and I are planning to do a little live stream every Thursday evening about 7 o'clock to let people know what the upcoming week's risk color is and what that means for our schools. It could be updated more frequently if there's a large outbreak or some reason for concern. But otherwise, I believe Wednesdays, probably by the close of business at the health department, they will have updated the dial. They did release, Scott, their first dial last week. It showed Holt County to be in the yellow or moderate risk area requiring enhanced precautions. And following our board meeting, we had a board meeting last Thursday night where administration presented their modified learning plans for both the elementary school and the high school, and those plans were approved by the board. Plans were then emailed to parents on Friday morning. They can also be found on our website. Let me just say from the outset, we understand that these plans aren't perfect. We don't believe there is a perfect plan out there. There's likely going to be some people that don't agree with some or all of our plan, but I'll let you know the administrative team has worked many, many hours talking to health department folks, education experts, surveying staff and parents, and just having discussions among ourselves about what we think is best for the school year. So we think, and the board agreed, that what we've come up with is what's best for our school during these difficult times. Some of the items on our modified learning plans are universal, or they'll happen all year long, regardless of the risk dial level. First thing we're asking is really of parents, Scott.
Yeah.
Monitor your own child's symptoms. I imagine most houses have a thermometer. Go ahead, before they go to school each day, take their temperature at home. Yeah. If they're exhibiting any symptoms, such as the cough, the can't smell, can't taste, shortness of breath, any of those, please keep them home. If your child is sick, it's always important to keep them home, but especially so this year. Another thing that's going to change this year is that we will not be opening our school buildings until 7:40 each morning. We're doing this to discourage or eliminate gathering in common areas before the kids go to class. As students arrive, they'll be directed to go either to their first period class at the junior-senior high or to their homeroom immediately. Upon arrival there, they will be starting things like taking temperatures and those kinds of things. Our teachers have been such troopers through this. We have asked them to arrive 15 minutes earlier this year. They will, so that they can be in their classrooms to greet kids when they come after 7:40. We're also, to avoid overcrowding, using different entrances and exits for different grades. Those can be found on our modified learning plan. And we understand that families with multiple students may have to drop off at a couple of doors this year. Or some students, if they're dropped off maybe at the youngest student's door, will have to walk to their doorway to go in. But in order to keep social distancing at the greatest degree possible, we're implementing that change. As I mentioned, upon arriving in their classrooms, each student will have their temperature taken. If they show a temperature of 100.4 or higher, or exhibiting other symptoms of COVID, they'll be directed to put on a mask if they don't already have one on, and they'll be taken to an isolation room where the nurse or another individual in the office area will confirm their temperature and then call their parent. If you get a phone call from the nurse concerning your child having a temperature or other COVID symptoms, you must pick them up within 30 minutes and take them home. Temperatures will be taken a second time during the day, right around lunchtime as well. So we'll be monitoring that throughout the day. If your child's involved in sports or activities, they'll probably have their temperature taken before practice as well. So that'll be going on throughout the day. We have changed our HVAC filters to a higher MERV level to try and purify the air to a higher degree, get some of those things out of the air. We are going to be washing and sanitizing our hands multiple times per day. We have purchased plastic desk dividers for each student to provide another layer protection from droplets. And we'll be social distancing our students to the highest degree possible within classrooms, in the lunchrooms, throughout the building, throughout the day. So those are some things that are going to be going on, whether we're green, yellow, or orange, just everyday changes for the school year. Of course, everyone is curious about what we're doing concerning masks. That can be kind of controversial these days. The risk dial is going to provide information concerning both student and staff masking. If the dial is green, masks will be recommended of everyone, but not required. Once the dial moves to yellow, which is where we're currently sitting, masks are required of staff and students, with an opt-out available to students, but not staff. In order to opt out of wearing a mask when we are in the yellow risk range, a parent needs to sign an opt-out form, which we will keep on file, and then we'll inform his or her teachers of the fact that they do have a signed form. This form will remind parents that if their child is not wearing a mask when the dial is yellow, he or she may be further socially distanced from classmates throughout the day, and not wearing a mask may increase the amount of time that their child is required to quarantine at home should there be an exposure in their classroom. We'll be mailing mask opt-out forms today. Those are going in the mail today. If you're all right with your child wearing a mask during yellow times throughout the year, you do not need to complete the form. The form only needs to be completed and returned to your school's office if you do not want your child to wear a mask during yellow times. If your child has a health condition, such as asthma, that prohibits them from wearing a mask, you need to notify the school as soon as possible with the doctor's note and some recommendations. We can then set up an individual 504 plan to meet his or her needs. Shields, which are less constricting, are also available for staff and students as needed. Okay. So that's where we are as far as masking goes, Scott. All right. We are advertising for some additional custodial help to assist during this time so we can be sure to keep our facilities as clean and sanitary as possible. We're looking for individuals at both buildings to work approximately 15 to 20 hours per week. If this sounds like something you'd be interested in, please come and pick up an application at Central Office. We're also currently hiring substitute nurses, teachers, and paraeducators. So please consider these kinds of positions if you're at all interested or qualified. Local area substitutes, these are substitute teachers, must possess either a bachelor's degree in any area, doesn't have to be in teaching, can be in anything, or have 60 hours of college credit in any area. Contact me if you think you might qualify and you're interested. Substitute nurses must have the appropriate license, while substitute paras must have a high school diploma or its equivalent. So we are in need of all of those things this year. It's going to be more difficult to find people willing to come and substitute. When it comes to activities such as sports, I know everyone's curious about what that's going to look like. We are too. We're following the direction of the NSAA and Health Department recommendations. We did cancel all weight room and conditioning activities for this week, including band camp, since we're currently in the yellow area. This does not mean that we will never be practicing when we're in the yellow risk area. We'll take extra precautions if we're still in the yellow area when practices officially start next Monday, but we would likely still have practice. This week off was to try and help flatten the curve so that hopefully we can start practice next week and school in 2 weeks in the green area rather than the yellow area. Right. Okay. So I guess wrapping up, I just really want to thank all of our teachers and other staff who have been so flexible and understanding as we have developed and that we're going to live under these plans that are going to be changing throughout the week, maybe day to day. We know our parents will also work hard to be flexible. We appreciate that greatly. And I don't know, do you have any other questions,
Scott? The first
day
of school is?
First day of school is Tuesday, August 18th.
Okay.
So
that's the plan right now.
We're excited to see the kids back. It seems like eons since they've been in our building.
And we know, Amy, this has been just as frustrating for you and your staff as it has been for everybody that's had to deal with.
Right.
Like we said, pretty
it's
much everybody
so much.
Carries a face mask around now, so it's right. kind of a staple. But please be patient, parents. If you're calling in and you have a question,
yes.
You guys might not have the answer right away, but you'll get it.
Right. So, yeah. We will get it, yes. Yeah. And please don't hesitate to call with those questions. If you've got that question, there's probably a lot of other people that do.
Right.
And on those Wednesday night broadcasts that we'll do live, I don't know, we haven't decided if it'll be a Facebook Live kind of thing, but we'll try and address those. If we get some questions throughout the week, we'll address those on those Wednesday nights.
Perfect. So. And the school office number is?
402-336-3775.
And the website?
Is www.oneillpublicschools.org.
All right, Amy. Appreciate you coming in. And like we said, if anybody has questions, check the website. There's a plethora of information on there.
There is a lot of information
Or
there.
If you just can't find it, call.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks so much for the
Amy.
Time, Scott.
You bet. Amy Shane, Superintendent of O'Neill Public Schools.